Praise the Lord. Tonight we're talking about dealing with the mindsets of the poverty, those in poverty, those who are the wealthy class or the middle class, and then we're talking about those who are wealthy, mindsets, and how even as Christians, even though we have the mind of Christ, we have to also understand that the mind of Christ does not lead us to be ignorant of living in this world, living in the reality of this world. And so a lot of times we try to live so on the spiritual side, but we're not impactful on the natural side. And so people can always hear the scriptures, but they don't see the evidence of the scriptures or the manifestation of the scriptures. So in order for us to have holistic living, which is the mindset of God, that have Christ as our Lord and our Savior and as the center of our life, yet we possess the blessings or the promises of Christ, has to be evident in our life. And so we have to build our lives on the three principles of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We must possess those three key elements within us so that we can build properly. We can build our life properly and in the order of God. Very important. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has to be imparted to us. We have to receive it from the Lord, receive it from instructors, receive it from spiritual fathering, as Apostle Thompson, who is well in experience and manifestations. And we see that in his life. So therefore, we see the successes of the balance of the things of God. Not only do God want us in a relationship with him, but God wants us also in the prosperity, in the harvest of every need and desire being met in our life. So we have to understand that. So we're going to have the balance of a holistic life, physically healthy, financially blessed, and spiritually empowered. That's our balanced life. So we study in the culture of honor about the mindset of the poverty mindset of the middle class and the wealthy on page 130. 129, really. We're going to pick up at 129. That's where we left off. We're going to pick up there. Make a note of our meditation scripture tonight. This is going to be our first thing, our meditation scripture. It's Matthew chapter 25. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. Let me give you the verse over there. I want you to have a specific verse. Verse 14 through verse 28. Those are the meditation. I want you to meditate that because it's going to be very important that we understand how to think and how to purpose. Thinking and purposing has to be important. The Bible said all things work together for good for them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We must understand the purpose of wealth. The purpose of wealth. Many times as Christians, we are ignorant of the purpose of why God wants us to have money and how to manage it, how to use it. We're ignorant of it, and so we wind up having a poverty mindset that money is only good for spending. And that's why we never really break out of the cycle of not having enough. We stay inside the cycle, always borrowing, living a borrowing lifestyle, a beggar's lifestyle, which is not God's will, is because that we never receive knowledge of the purpose of wealth. Of the purpose of wealth. And the other thing I've discovered is that we fail to discipline ourselves in our habits. We do not have self-discipline or control in our habits. And it eats at us not possessing, because we don't discipline ourselves in our habits to control our cravings or our lust of our flesh or the lust of our eyes. We see it, we buy it. It don't have to have a purpose. It's just idea. I see it. I want it. It doesn't have a purpose. So we purchase things and we set them on the shelf or we put them in the closet and they're not even useful. Because we bought it on impulse, not on purpose or the need, why I need it. Okay? And so we have to control those urges that we have, because those urges would begin to cause us to live a life of poverty. Okay? So again, as you study Matthew 25 for our meditation, I want you to read that at your leisure, to go back over. I'm not sure you probably read it before, but go back over and look at the perspective of purpose of money. Thinking when I have money of what I'm going to do with it, what I need to do with it, or am I inquiring of God, what you want me to do with this? How do you want me to handle this? If you think of it from those perspectives, then you'll see depth in the story why the king or the ruler who gave this man $5,000, why he dealt with him the way he dealt with him, the last one who dug a hole and hid his money. And most time, religious people tell you that was talent. No, it was that word talent is translated as wealth. It's translated as money. He gave him over $5,000 to go do a business transaction or invest it for him and make it grow, but he didn't. And because of the fact of it was the way he thought, it's how he saw money. It's how he saw money. Okay, so no matter how much we talk, well, apostle try to pour into us, and he does an awesome job because he's an apostle of prosperity and finances. But if we do not grab hold to the mindset and begin to change, help the Holy Ghost to help us change us from the inside, then we're going to continue to spin our wheels in the same pattern and saying it don't work. It don't work. Sowing don't work. We're going to go to the same pair because of that we hadn't changed our habits, nor do we change the way we think. Change the way we think. And so that's where Romans 12:2 that said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where that comes in, that not only from a spiritual point of view, but it's dealing in the world that we live in. Our minds have to be transformed into the kingdom of God. Think like God thinks. Think like God thinks, having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Having that mindset inside of you would help you begin to come out of a poverty mindset in a financial situation that had you stuck because you're thinking out of the mind of Christ and how God thinks, how God sees things, how God sees my prosperity, how God sees my future. And when you get that mindset, it begins to stir in you energy, power that begin to that see that I'm not supposed to live like this. This is not God's best for my life. This is not God's will for my life. And that energy and that power and that thrust and that hunger begin to push you from all the limitations or the limits or small thinking to bring you into that God thinks big. God want me to dream big. God want me to have big. And all of a sudden now, when you get those scriptures in you and that mindset in you, what happened is now the spirit of creation that's in you of the spirit begin to feed your spirit man ideals and visions of how to create wealth. Gotta give your vision. Gotta give your idea. Deuteronomy 8:17 that says, say not in your heart that by my own strength have I begotten this wealth. But it's the Lord who give you power to get wealth. It's the Lord who give you power to get wealth. When you begin to set your heart on the things of God, God will begin to give you the revelation the ideals or the vision how to create wealth. And you start getting dreams, you start getting vision, you start getting hooked up with people, new people start coming in your life that you can connect to, that will start linking you up to a line of increase in prosperity. Increase in prosperity. It'll start happening on you. But you got to get that mindset. You got to have a hunger for it. One of the teachings the apostle taught was think and grow rich. And one of the first things he says in that book was, you got to have a burning desire. You got to have a burning desire, burning passion that keeps you awake, that you become a slave to your vision. You become a slave to your vision. You eat it, you drink it, you wake up with it, you go to bed with it, it becomes thirsty. You can look at a movie and you see your vision in it. Because that's all you think. Your mind is flooded about what God's plans are for your life. And begin to create ideals, thoughts, visions inside of you where you begin to build your outer work before you build your house. It starts happening in your life. So this is how we break out of a poverty mindset. This is how we break out. And you got to feed yourself. You got to feed yourself on it. And over time and season, you'll start seeing growth. You'll start seeing the things I'm telling you about in your mindset, in your vision. And before you knew it, you out of there. You out of there. Because you begin to see, man, I'm wrong. Man, nobody want this. I'm wrong. People don't want what I want. Mm-hmm. What happened? You begin to break company with people who don't think like you think. And you begin to run with the runners. You begin to run with the runners. And that's what's going to start happening in your life. And it's okay to break from people who don't see what you see, who's not running in the direction you're running in. Nothing wrong with that. That's not unchristian. Okay? It's not unchristian to do that. But you got to begin to think above just being spiritual. You live in a real world where there's real issues, where there's a real devil, and we live in an economy that provisions have to be provided for. Needs have to be met. And God wants you to meet every need in your life. He wants every need met in your life, above and beyond. Okay? So, again, that's Matthew 25. Let's go to our scripture, our book here in page 129, dealing with the poverty, the middle class, and the wealthy, those who have wealth, the mindset, the perceptions of how they see life, how they see life. Again, we just want to pick back up at number one again. Let's do that. Possession. Possessions is how the poverty see possession. A poverty see possession as people. Middle class see possessions as things. And the wealthy sees one of a kind, objects, pedigree, legacy. Is how we think, is how we perceive life, is how we see life from where we are. And it's very important because however you perceive life is how you're going to respond to life. It's how you accept your position in life and your condition in life. Okay? How we perceive money to be used at the poverty, see money to be used or just spent. The middle class to be managed. The wealthy to be conserved or invested. Very important how you look at every dime, every dollar God gives you. Apostles have taught us that money is a seed. That money is a seed. And when we sow that seed, God causes that seed to be multiplied into a harvest. Into a harvest. So now I'm not looking at my money any longer as something to be spent. It's something to be sown. He said, the seed may leave your hand, but it'll never leave your life. The harvest of the seed that you sow will continue to cause many harvests to come back to your life. Many opportunities are going to show up. One thing I've learned about God is that God does not give you money. He gives you opportunity. So you got to start looking for opportunity instead of looking for money. That's why our apostle got the revelation. Don't go after money. Go after God. If you go after God and do it God's way, God gonna present you with opportunities. So God has always got somebody somewhere with influence, power, and money to bless you. Always got somebody. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what your investment thoughts are or your future vision is, if you begin to become a consistent sower and sow, God will always have someone somewhere to become a person with influence and power and wealth to bless you, because he gives you opportunity. He gives you opportunity. Opportunity is what caused the wealth to be in the place of opportunity. So just stop looking for somebody and say, why nobody come put no money in my hand? Nobody come put your money. No, opportunity is money. Yeah. Opportunity is wealth. So you're looking to tap into the principle of I see money now as a seed. Mm-hmm. And the seed is designed to be sown. My job is not my source. It's the place where I get a seed. It's a place where I get a seed, but I need soil to sow the seed into. And good soil is in to the men and women of God who God has placed in your life to be your leaders and your spiritual fathers, who will pour into your life the spiritual truths or the true riches, the spiritual things, pour that into your life. And God says, receive my word. Receive the truth of my word. Receive the truth of my word. Practice the truth of my word. In the corner thing that you have that you sow, I will cause it to be multiplied. Now, that's from a spiritual dimension, because the word don't teach you that. It comes from a spiritual dimension. But the word does teach you the concept is to invest your money. To invest your money. The wealthy sees money to be invested. Why we want to invest money? To cause it to grow. To cause it to increase. That's why the world teach investment. But the church teach sowing, giving. God said, give and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give back into your bosom? See, God's principle is giving. And that's why all major wealthy people practice giving. They are tithers. They give the charities because they realize that sowing or giving to the less fortunate, to an organization to help people, there's a blessing on it. There's a blessing on it. They understand that. Okay? And so when we learn to give to the work of the kingdom and sow into the men and women of God, who God tells us to sow into that good soil, God said, that's a harvest on that. I'm going to give you an opportunity for increase. A business opportunity going to show up. I'm going to take care of the scholarship you're trying to get in school. I'm open the door for that. Whatever that need for that car, I'm going to make sure I take care of that. Whatever it is, I'm going to meet those needs because you have sown into the good soil. I'll multiply the seed. But if you spend your money at McDonald's, all you're going to get is cholesterol. You know, that's all you're going to wind up getting, gas. You know, because you're not spending on quality, you're spending on quantity. And that's a difference. It's a difference in the mindset. This is what he says. Go down to, I gave you possessions, I gave you money. Go down to food. He said a poverty mindset deals with quantity is most important. See, this is why I tell my kids and my children, my immediate family, as well as my church family, stay out of our golden career. Yeah. Wow. It's a mindset. Yeah. Wow. It's because they got a bar in there. Wow. And you pay one price and you eat as many times as you want to. That's a poverty mindset. It's not quality food. You go in there because you can eat two or three times and get full and sit there and let that digest and eat some more. So you're dealing with quantity, not quality. It's the poverty mindset. There's another place we have in our city called Dirt Cheap. It's a store on Florida Boulevard called Dirt Cheap. And so a lot of people, I pass by, I live in that area, and I pass by and I see cars there quite often, you know, especially on Saturdays and Friday when people get paid. They're there trying to find bargains, but the whole part is the sign says Dirt Cheap. The whole thing is telling you about your mindset. You think cheap. So therefore, you always going to look for cheap stuff because it's programming your mind. So instead of you going to Saks Fifth, you're not going to Saks. Know why? Because a shirt in there costs $430. And you only get one. So you're not going there. You're looking for something that you can go on a rack and get three for $15 or whatever. You're looking for something that you can get more for less. No, the wealth mindset and those who understand wealth are looking for quality, not quantity. They're looking for quality. We want something we put in the washing machine, the color is not going to fade. We're looking for something, once we put it in the cleaners, it's not going to shrink. You see what I'm saying? We're looking for something that's going to benefit us and add to us and not hurt us. But the poverty mindset don't think like that. And so you have to come out of that level of thinking of trying to get more for, more stuff for less amount of money. No, you got to change your mindset. I say to people all the time, I say, as good as Dollar General is and Family Dollar stores, these different stores, you can go by and get this stuff, even the dollar store, you know, you can go by and get stuff, you know. But the idea is when you buy a comb and the teeth break out of it once you're trying to brush your hair, comb your hair, and the tooth start breaking out of it because you put pressure on it, don't take it back for a refund. You only paid a dollar for it. It was cheap when you bought it. It's supposed to break. So a lot of times people want quality, but don't want to invest the money for it. Don't want to invest the money for it. And we got to get the same mentality. You know, no matter what level you're on now, you got to begin to practice. You know, I'm not hurting nobody. If you got McDonald's money, that's where you got to eat. Because your money told you you got to eat there. See, the apostle tells all the time, money has a voice. Money has a voice, because one of the first things you do when you go to a restaurant, you look at the cost. I know you want to see what you're going to eat, but you're also looking at that side right there and see exactly how much this meal is going to cost you. But see, when you're going to go up the ladder of success and increase, the numbers on the side start looking like the numbers of pages. You're on page 49. Okay, and so the steak costs $49. Because that's what you see. You don't see 49.00. You just see 49. That's not the page number. That's how much the steak costs. Why? It's changing your mindset. See, you don't go into a Ruth's Chris with a Golden Corral mindset. It don't work there. It don't work there because there's no bar there. Okay, you got to order off the menu, and the prices on the menu is what you're going to have to pay. And then you're going to tip your waiter a good tip. You see? And so the mindset has to change. And so one of the greatest things that we all deal with is finances. In this earth realm, we deal with finances because money make the world go round. Money run this system. And if you don't have money, you can't run it with the system or get ahead of the system. So you got to change the way you think. And that's why the quality is here, is that poor people always see food, they only see how much of it I can eat. But you got to understand something. You got to train people to come to your house, that when you leave here, there are no doggy bags leaving. You got to train them. Yeah, we got a barbecue day at the house. That's a birthday party at the house. That's a supper for the family. But when you leave here, you leave here with only what you ate. No doggy bags. What you're doing? You're training the mindset. The mindset has to get trained. And most people, we go to places, they bring less and take a whole lot with them when they leave. It's their mindset. Because they're not, they're only in the realm of receiving and not giving. But God want to change us to know how to be givers, how to be a blessing, how to transform your financial state by changing the way you think. As the Bible says, that as a man thinketh, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. It's how you think. If you go to cheap places because you think cheap. If you take to look for shortcuts out of things, it's because of fact you always take the path of least resistance. It's how you think. And that's in every aspect of life, not only dealing with finances, not only dealing with money, but it's also dealing with relationships. If you think you cannot have a quality woman, you won't reach for her. If you think you can't have a quality man, you won't reach for him. People with status, people with some success, people with some know-how, people got some zeal, people know who they are, what they want, and know how to get it. You won't go for a strong-willed woman. You look for somebody weak and silly so you can rule and dominate. It's because of the mindset. It's because of how you think. It's how you think. So you got to change the way you think. Okay? It says here in the middle class, look at food. It says quality meat, quality most important. The wealthy sees food as presentation most important. That's right. That's where you get that little piece of meat on there with that ketchup and mustard design and one little leaf. Right. And it's going to cost you $60 for it. You know, you ain't going to get full, but you're eating quality. It's going to taste good and it's presented to you well. And that's what you're looking for. That's the way you want to get your mindset to that place. Something that tastes good, is quality, and is presented to me well. It's presented to me well. You know, it's amazing how you can see, you can be right on the road and you see all these billboards and you see this Big Mac and you see this food on that billboard and the lettuce look fresh, the cheese is just leaning just right. You know, the pickles and everything inside the bun, the meat is just as big as the bun, you know. And then you go in the store to get the Big Mac, and then put it in the microwave, and you can't even find the lettuce because it done shrunk up, you know? It done shrunk up because of the heat. Man, I want the picture. But you don't get it. And no sense of fussing because you didn't go to buy quality food. You went to buy quantity food. That's the mindset. That's the mindset. And so many people do that, and they go to these places and they raise all their sin, and you didn't pay nothing. You got two meals for $6. What you fussing about? Now, I can see if you went to Ruth Chris and you don't pay $100 for a steak and then come out the way you want it. I can see you going to the guy and say, look, man, I need this well done or whatever. But man, come on. It's mindsets. Okay, so I gave you one, which is your meditation. I gave you two, which is your possession. Three, which is your money. And four, this is your fourth question, is your food. Understand that those scales, because that's going to be on your quiz. Number one is going to be your meditation. Number two is going to be when we talked about possession. It's on your chart. How do the poor see possessions? Do they see it as things? Do they see it as a one-of-a-kind object, pedigree, a legacy, or do they see it as people? Multiple choice. Okay. Then you deal with money. It's to be used or spent, or to be managed, or to be conserved, or invested. Then we deal with food. We deal with quality. It's how the poor think. We're dealing with the mindset of the poor. The poverty, the middle class, and the wealthy. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're just going to continue. We have a few minutes here. Let's look at number one is meditation, Matthew 25. And I'm going to give you the numbers as I go. I didn't do it. Okay. So let's look at the mindset of time. Time is important. It's how we spend our time. Very, very important. When you understand your mindset, it's how we spend time. And the difference between the poverty mindset and the middle class mindset and the wealthy mindset, we see time different. We use time different. Okay? And it's very important that we begin to rethink how to use our time. Because time is something that you don't get back. Okay. You once were 35, forget it. Once it passed, it's over. You don't get it back. You don't get it back. Time keep moving forward. It keep moving forward. So you have to be able to use your time wisely. Because every day is important to determine the future of my destiny. Every day is important to determine the future of my destiny. The poverty mindset sees time as present most important. That what's happening right now is the most important thing in their life. They don't think about the future. They don't think about planning for the future. All they think about right now, man, living right now. Okay? Living for the weekend. Those type of mindsets. So they don't plan thinking that one day if the Lord blessed me to live, I'm going to be 65. I'm going to be 65. How am I going to live at 65? What life is going to be like for me at 65? Am I prepared to live at 65? What am I doing now to put myself in a better position so once I get 65, I'm still self-sustained? I'm still in good health. I have enough money to take care of me and live off. You see, because if you live, you're going to get there. Or you're going to be relying on Social Security or some kind of income coming from the government to take care of you, because in fact, most people that I know who retired eventually go find another job. Because in fact, they have not prepared for that life. So they continue working because in fact, they don't have enough money to pay for the insurance and the hospitalization. So they got to keep a job in order to pay for it and to exist. So because why they're doing that? They did not prepare. They did not prepare when it was 18 and 19 and 20. They did not have a plan for the future. All they were looking at was right now. How I'm dressed, how I'm looking for people, how I'm impress people. And so all they were doing was just buying stuff to impress people, but never invested for the long term. Never invested for the long term. So once they get to 50 and 65 and realize, man, how I'm going to survive? Am I going to wind up in a nursing home, having somebody take care of me? What's going to happen to my life? What happened, God forbid, if my husband passed or my wife passed, how I'm going to survive? What if I don't own a house by 65? What's going to happen with my life? It's because they failed to prepare. Because all they was doing was living for the weekend, living to impress people, not realizing the future, if you live, is going to come. I don't care who you are, saved or unsaved, it's coming. If you live, and you're going to have to be able to have an income established or a foundation that can sustain you. But you didn't waste your money, you invested your money. You put money up, you sowed seeds in the ground. So you'll be able to go to tell God, I got seed in the ground. I can make a demand because I got seed in the ground. But if you don't do those things, then you're not going to have stability and you're going to wonder, did God forsake me? No, God said you didn't use wisdom, you didn't use knowledge, you didn't use understanding, and you wasted your time. It is not my fault. It's not my fault to take care of you now that you're in a place of survival instead of thriving. You didn't use your time wisely. The Bible said a wise man would build his house on a rock, but a foolish man would build it on sand. Time becomes a storm in your life if you don't build correctly. It affects your life. It affects your life. So you got to understand that. So we need to use our time wisely and don't think about just for the moment. See, the middle class think of time as future most important. The middle class think about their future, their kids' scholarships. Are my kids going to be able to have provision for a house? What's going to happen when my kids get their grandbabies? How I'm going to provide for my grandkids? They're always thinking about future tense or a career choice I want to make. I may want to shift when I get to 35 and do something else or retire early in my life. I may want to just travel in life. But you got to use your time to put yourself in that position. To put yourself in that position. That's why sometimes when your friends are going to movies, you need to stay home and read a book. You need to equip yourself with knowledge and understanding and educate yourself so that you can be prepared for the future. It's the sacrifice you have to make to be successful. And that's what most people don't want to do. They don't want to sacrifice and educate themselves with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding so they can build their house on a solid foundation. It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice. What you going to do with a wife? If you're a young man here, you get a wife and you don't have no provisions. No, how are you going to provide for her? How are you going to take her out of her father's house and you don't have nowhere to take her? But y'all so in love, but nowhere to stay. How that's going to work? It's not going to work no good. No, we're going to get married and stay with your daddy. Well, that ain't going to work too good. You know why? Because you're a man coming to stay in her father's house, it means you got to live by her father's rules. So what that's like, you 25 and 26 years old, and a man telling you, listen, you need to be inside for 10 o'clock. I'm not getting out of my bed, come open the door, and you're not going to be disturbing my rest. What you going to do now? You see, the rules going to shift. So that's why you have to have provisions and use your time wisely. Before you get a wife, you got to begin to put your time in preparation. So once you have built your house, got a house for her, then you can bring her because you're established. Yes, but don't take her when you're not established. It ain't going to be too good. Okay, why? It's dealing with the mindsets. It's dealing with mindsets. Okay, so the wealthy sees wealth a time a traditional and historical. The wealthy see time as traditional and wealth. They see where we've been, which is history, and what was the foundation that was established. I need to build my time, use my time to build on the foundation that was already built and build my life according to the tradition values of my predecessors or my fathers. And Apostle was talking about that today, and we talk about ministry, that we have to build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets which was before us instead of building on flesh. Because when we build it according to flesh, we got to go back and tear it down because it ain't going to exist. It's not going to survive time in the test of life. It's not going to survive. So we got to build according to the values and the traditions of our fathers, how our fathers being real men, our fathers using their time. Because back then, our fathers didn't have a lot of television. So there was men who worked. There were men who was outdoor men. They always busy because they didn't have something to entertain them as far as those type of things. And so what happened is now we have so much time to spend on television, playing games, and internet. And if we realize, you know, 3 and 4 hours had gone by and we're on the internet reading other folks' comments that hadn't even benefited us. We didn't invest our time to benefit us because we've been too nosy trying to see everybody else is saying about an issue. And we spent hours doing that. We spent hours watching movies. But what did the movie do for you? How did it add to you? How did it impact your life for your future and your destiny? How did it prepare you for the future? Did it give you insight? Did it give you revelation? Did it tell you what your future is going to be like? No, it doesn't do none of those things. But when you spend your time in idleness in those things, then your thoughts are so flooded with ignorance and not purpose until you spend time lost in space in your mind. In your mind. You want to get your mind flooded with good, positive thinking. Good, positive thinking. And the only way you come, you got to feed your mind. Your mind is a tool. You got to feed it. If you don't feed it, it'll give you stuff from outside that's negative, and you'll think those negative things are reality. Right. And you try to build your life on somebody else. Dad said tonight, dumb people, that was Sunday, he said the people you watch on television, that's a movie. They're acting. That's not real life, so don't try to base your life on a movie. Right. Dumb people that got paid, gone home on vacation while you sit on your couch eating blueberry ice cream and some cookie right. And gaining weight, and they're gone on a diet on the beach somewhere in a bikini. Right. But it's the way we think. It's the way we think. We're influenced by society instead of influenced by the Word of God. And I'm influenced by instruction, so my time is up. I'm leaving. Y'all have a great night. Y'all have a great night. Love you guys.